Amen. You know what is so amazingly awesome about that song right there? Is every bit of it is absolute truth. Now, you know what? Let me put that in perspective. Not that I can't, but let us pretend for a minute, if I could. Anybody in the room here got any debt? Mortgage, car loan, anybody in here got any debt? All right. Well, not that I could, but if I could and I would, what if this morning I said, no matter what your debt is, if you'll come to the altar, I'm going to turn you over to our wonderful associate executive pastor, Mark Hale, and he is going to pay off whatever you owe, and you are going to leave here debt free. And now, hold on a second. How big an altar call would we have? Hey, Fainter, you coming, Fainter? Now watch. I want you to know spiritually that that's exactly what's happened. Every one of us has walked in here with a debt, whether you realize it or not. And today I got to start with a philosophical premise. I want you to know that if you live long enough and you watch long enough and you open your eyes long enough, you will begin to find out this is true. We are not inherently good. You see, and this is what confuses a lot of people. This is the very essence and foundation of the secular humanist. They believe that inside the human being, we're naturally good. Now, if you believe that, I like to challenge ideologies with practicality. I want to encourage you to go to the 2-year-old classroom. And I want you to sit down and observe. And if you observe for more than 20 minutes, you will realize we are not inherently good. At 2 years old, when we kind of cognitively get enough to go, you know, kind of know what's going on, let me tell you what happens. I guarantee you right now in the 2-year-old class, pray for these teachers. There's a 2-year-old male that has just gotten his lump of Play-Doh. He has just smacked it down in front of him, and he has proclaimed, "Mine!" And he swelled up like this. Well, guess what? For the first time of many times in his life, he's fixing to have this encounter. She has heard the word "mine." And he's fixing to stare down something that's even worse than the 2-year-old male. He's fixing to stare down a 2-year-old female with 2 antennas coming out of the top of her head like this. And she got a little thing coming out. They're about this high like this. And she's going to look at him. She's only 2 years old, mind you. And she's going to take her pretty little hand and she's going to get his Play-Doh and go, bam! Right in front of her and go, "Mine." And he's going to see some eyes that he will see for the rest of his life that tell him, "Go ahead, it's all yours." We are not inherently good. We're inherently rebellious against God, and we got to come to grips with that. Now, our rebellion doesn't mean that God is not merciful. But see, until you understand this, you'll never appreciate grace. And until you understand this, you will continue the attempts to save yourself. How many of y'all have ever seen humans try to save themselves? It's messy. Let me tell you what it kind of looks like. If you cannot swim, have you ever seen someone try to swim that cannot swim? What does it look like? Show me what it looks like. Come on, we participate. Huh? Yes. Yeah, there you go. Some of y'all have seen it, man. I mean, they're flailing, they're breathing, they're bobbling, they're doing everything they can to do what? Save themselves. Now watch this. Isn't it cool? I've had to save a few people that were drowning that couldn't swim. And you know what I did? I threw them out a life ring or a float. And as soon as they got to the float, guess what you're always saying to someone that's drowning? Calm down. Then it may calm down. Relax. They're going, "You don't understand. I'm drowning. I can't swim." No, I understand. The more you fight the water, the quicker you'll drown. Because the water will what? Win. Now, here's what I want you to know. We are sinners. Separated from God. Because we're sinners. And guess what God chose to do? You better hear what I'm telling you. God chose to love us. God didn't look down here and go, "Oh, they're wonderful. I love you." Guess what God said? "I love you." And we weren't wonderful. We're not. I know that's hard. It's so anti-Oprah. Because Oprah says, "You're just a flower waiting to bloom." And the Bible says, "You a dead flower from the start." Now you get it? And so even when you bloom, you're blooming a dead flower. You go, "Oh, Pastor Ayers, why do you tell us such truth at this? It's so that you might appreciate the mercy of God, that in spite of our sins, in spite of our death, the good news is that there is a God in heaven who chooses to love His people, who has sent Jesus, His Son, the One, to redeem humanity from the sin that so kills." Once you get there, guess what you'll do? Well, when you hear a song like, "He's paid my debt, He's taken my stinking sin and made it whiter than snow," you'll go, "Whoa, yes." Let me give you three things that we all have in common. Thing number one, we've all sinned. In case you all are looking around going, "I wonder who's better than somebody in here." Let me give you the answer. Nobody. Some of y'all are going, well, I've never had a beer. That means you will be alcohol free in hell. And then what's going to be so disappointing? It's hot down there and you'll probably want a cold beer when you get there. But it's not about that. How many of y'all hear people do that in Kentucky? Hold on. I live here in Bowling Green. They go, "Well, I'm a good person. I hear it all the time. That's why I preach about it, because I hear it all the time. I don't need to go to church. I'm a good person." No, you're not. You're a dead flower. And that's what you watch. Right now, we're on a rampage in this nation to save ourselves. And it will be one historic debacle. You know why I know? I'm a student of history. It's always been a debacle. Chase, you've studied history. Where is Rome? What power and influence does it have? This great nation of Jesus' time, this great government, the government that we even patterned our own government after, where is its influence today? Where is the Caesar, Fainter, that proclaimed his very position was deified? It's history. Where is the living God that is resurrected? Sitting beside you. You go, "Really?" Yeah. Holy Spirit right there going, "Hey, get this, understand this, be a part of this, embrace this, understand that you're saved by God." Now, once you get there, you'll get mercy. See, you got to understand why God needed to save you. You needed to be saved. Does that make sense, Rick? It wasn't like God said, "Hey, I ain't got nothing to do today. I think I'm going to think up salvation." There's a literal problem. Without Jesus, we're dead. In Jesus, we live full life. Everybody understand the difference? In Christ, I come to life. So if you're in Jesus, guess what? Here's the good news. Now watch how everything changes. There's no way you can be a dead flower in Jesus. Because Jesus never dies. So does that make sense? You are this risen potential. And who knows what you're going to be? You don't even know what you're going to be. Only God knows what you're going to be. And so now you join a journey of full and abundant life. Check it out. Psalm 40, David cries out and he begins to tell us some very important things, some truths that we need to grab a hold of. Please grab these. Okay? He cries out to God, "Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and truth always protect me." Get to the truth. Love and truth. Andrew Eden, you study the Scriptures. How many times you hear that phrase? Love and truth. A lot. Now, let me tell you. Let me help you. There are some absolutes. God speaks in absolutes. God is... Here's the problem with postmodern thought. God's not a postmodern. He's God. God doesn't change with the cultures. He doesn't go, oh, it's the 21st century. And God is not politically correct. Now, a lot of you don't like the way God talks. You know why? He's real clear. When God writes the script, it's not real long. Thou shall not. What do you not like about that? Pretty clear. Thou shall not worship other gods. You can understand that. It's very pointed. It's easy to understand. Didn't take 2,000 pages for God to write His plan. He could put it in 10 statements. Because when you write truth, you don't have to say much. You notice? How many of y'all know how to read contracts? The big print giveth, you young people get this, and the small print taketh away. Never forget that truth. So when you go to the bank and you're young and you're married, you go to the bank and they say, we're going to give you a loan. The big print giveth 3% interest. The small print for only 3 months taketh away. Be careful. But God has two things. He says, David says, send your mercy to me. Your love and your what? Truth. Love and truth. Now, guys, listen. Here's the loving thing. God loves you no matter what you've been into. That make sense? You all know this. You do it as parents. You've seen your parents do it with you. They've loved you no matter what you've gotten into. If you're raising children or if you're married, you've got a lot of young married people in here now. And guess what? You'll have them one day. This will happen. Your child will not turn out like you want them to. How many of you have had that experience? How many of y'all had it on occasions? Your child did not do what you instructed your child to do. Has everybody had that experience? If you're raising perfect children, please go ahead and commit them now. There's no such thing as a perfect child. Why do parents think they have perfect children? How many of y'all have been around parents that have perfect kids? How many of y'all have ever had this human, absolutely practical experience? The parents thought they had perfect kids. Only the parents believed they had perfect kids. Nobody else believed they had perfect kids. And they would bring them over to your house. And their kids would begin to wreck your house. And their parents stood there unconscious that the kids were wrecking your house. And you were thinking inside yourself, eliminate child wrecking house. But then I even go, eliminate parent who lets child wreck house. You know why they won't correct that child? They think that child's perfect. Elizabeth always gets on me, you know, I'll get back in the car and have one of those experiences. I said, I'll tell you what now, I'll tell you what they need now, I'll tell you what. By gosh, I'll tell you what. They take him in the backyard there, they need some psychology, but I tell you what, it don't need to be on their head. There's two locations to get your attention, your ears and your rear. Sometimes you need a rear. How many of you know God loves you enough every once in a while to tap your fanny to get your attention so that you might hear truth, so you might understand His love? There is truth. Now listen, y'all aren't going to hear that. In all of our deep scholarship, we've come to the point that truth is relative. Now you can believe that. Welcome to hell. By the way, that's not a new idea. That is an old philosophical concepts. It's almost as old as piercings.
That's old.
Yeah. We think we're into new stuff. We're not into new stuff. We're into old stuff that didn't work the first time. Didn't work the first time. We're not the first group to be tatted up. We're not the first group to fall into tackle boxes. You don't walk around with everything pierced. They've done it in ancient cultures. They died, and they're in the history books too. But there's a group of people that have been changed by this extraordinary thing called love and truth. Oh, God, send our mercy, send your love, send your truth. They protect me. Get to the truth. This is the truth. You and I have sinned, and Jesus will save. That's an absolute truth. This is the truth. You break the Ten Commandments, your life will have less quality. Am I telling you the truth? Thou shalt not, you go and thou shalt, and it shall be a mess. Y'all got all that shouting? I mean, it really is. Which is, if you don't covet your neighbor's wife, you save millions of dollars through a lifetime. You never have to get a divorce. If you don't get a divorce, you don't have to be broke. Is that too much truth for some of y'all? Or I'm getting a little close, aren't I? Well, even the Bible said, don't look over to the next yard. We covet. We're in an economic crisis. Let me tell you, here's who I blame our economic crisis on. Human beings who are full of greed. And it's destroying the whole world. We got them on both sides. We got people that don't work and expect something. I don't know where y'all came up with that idea. It sure wasn't in the Bible. And then we got human beings who feel obligated to make so much money and they discard all other human beings. You know why? The haves and the have-nots always fight. They're just alike. Greedy. They both want more than they need. They both want something for what?
Nothing.
And guess who allows them to exist? Yeah, God does ultimately say that. We do. Because we ignore the what? Truth. I mean, it's better to blame everything on George Bush, isn't it? It's George Bush's fault that I went and got a loan that I couldn't afford. It's Barack Obama's fault. Now they're starting to blame Barack Obama because you don't have a job. Maybe it was your fault that you didn't pay attention in high school, and it was your fault that you never learned anything, and it was your fault that you have absolutely no, and don't tell me about your mom and dad or lack of. You went to school, and they told you in a public school supported by great people that you need to learn. And you said, no, I don't, man. I'm going to just sit back, man. I'm cool. I'm going to toke me a couple and be cool. And I'm not going to learn. I'm going to make D's and F's. And now you are qualified. Whose fault is that? Somebody tell me whose fault is that? Now, how many of y'all had a mom and dad that looked at you and said, I want you to fell out of school? Even mom and dads who had no sense. And we got mom and dads that don't have any sense. I'll give you that. You're some of them. Truth and what? See, when you get to the truth, you'll want to apply the mercy of God. And when you apply the mercy of God, you will have a reordered life. And then the glory of God will start being your reality and not your wish. But you got to get to the what? And we don't want to get to the truth. Nobody wants to say they did it. And here's what we got to say. We did it. You know what God said He'd do? If we would ever say we did it, He would heal our land. But nobody wants to take ownership of the truth. Now here's the truth. You and I sin. How many of y'all that far along? Here's the truth. God forgives and God restores. David knew this. How many of y'all have ever felt like this? Some of y'all are too young to feel like this yet. But hang on, you'll have this moment. I love this. Look, for troubles without number surround me, and sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. How many of y'all have ever had my troubles? I can't even count them all. My troubles are without number. I can't calculate them. I just know they're there. But now I want you to catch this. Look what he said. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart falls within me. Let me tell you what sin will do to you, folks. Here's the truth. It will blind you to God's reality. And so today I'm calling that some of you begin to see. See that God will do a great work in you. How many of y'all just need to see? See that you can be forgiven. See that God will renew you. See that there's still hope. See that the troubles can't outweigh God. Don't be blind. Make sense? Because let me tell you what. Troubles what? Surround you. That's true. Truth and love protect. It's true. How many of y'all have ever had some troubles surround you? Now let's get honest. How many of y'all have caused most of your troubles? Yeah, it wasn't God. It wasn't your mom. It wasn't your dad. It wasn't that you fell off your kiddie car when you were 2 years old. It wasn't, watch this. Some of y'all really going to get mad at this. It wasn't that your parents got divorced. Here's what happens when parents get divorced. They allow children to become little manipulative beings. That's why they're messed up as adults. They try to outgive the child so that the child might love them. So guess what? It's screwed up from the beginning. Parents are to love their children. They're not in control of the response. God loves us. And He doesn't control the what? Response. He just loves us. Look deeply. Don't run blindly. Sin will keep you from not seeing things. Make sense? How many of y'all have seen people do things in life and you just go, why did they do that? I've seen this happen over and over in my life. It's going to be a truth. It may sting some of you. I've seen men live their lives successfully. They get in their mid-40s. And all of a sudden they fall out of love with their wife that they've been with for 25, 30 years. You know, they fall out of love and they go get them a younger model. Now, anybody's got sense, what do we do? Yeah, like some 24-year-old real pretty girl has fallen madly in love with some wrinkled up pot-belly dude. Well, that's too much truth, wasn't it? No, let's be honest. See, we got to get real. Guess what? Guess what? If that man's made a commitment, listen, guys, I'm going to tell y'all, please hear me. If you'll stay married, just stay. You go, you don't understand. I do. I do. Somebody said, you're good at marriage counseling. I said, yeah, I've created all the problems in my marriage you just told me about. I'm experienced. I didn't read a book. I've been through this. And here's what I can proclaim to you, love and truth. God is stronger than the trouble. Because look, trouble surrounds us, but God lives within us. See the difference? The power of God is within you. The trouble is what? Now follow me, church. Here's what we do sometimes. Sometimes we get blind and we step out of here in the trouble. Let's just be honest. And our troubles get bigger than God. How many of y'all, your troubles have ever gotten bigger than God? And that's when you get anxious. We call it stressed out. We start proclaiming falsehoods. This is a falsehood. It'll never change. How many of y'all have ever said it'll never change? It will change. It will change. These are the greatest words I heard from Robert Schuller, and he's had a lot of critics in his lifetime here. One of the pastors said, Robert Schuller, in the early parts of your ministry, you got a lot of criticism. He said, oh, it hasn't changed. And he said, what did you do with your critics? He said, I outlived them. You know, he's about 105 now, and he just said, I outlived my critics. And I'm sitting there as this young guy, and y'all might not be aware of this, but I've had a lot of critics in my journey of life. I get a lot of emails, a lot of comments. I've had a lot of people help me pastor through my lifetime. They all got suggestions, and they know how to do things. And what they don't understand is I know this truth. Everybody knows how to do something that's never done it. I love my sisters. I really do. I joke with them all the time, but I love my sisters. But it's interesting. My baby sister has not given me any parental advice since she got two kids of her own. But she used to give me the tidbits of wisdom she had. She thought because she had, a couple PhDs that qualified her to give advice on children. Now, let me tell you what qualified her is when she got two kids. And God answered my prayers. She got this beautiful little daughter that was way too cooperative. I said, God, that is not fair. I said, send her a son. And make that son like me, Lord. I called her one night and she said, hold on, my son is standing up on the dishwasher throwing dishes out on the floor. I said, praise you, O God on high. You have heard a couple of my prayers. And I just watch him. I mean, he's a cool kid. He's coming up. I mean, his hair sticks up on his head like this. And he looks at you like, I just can't wait. Because I know he's going to be about 13 going, I'm going to smack somebody down right here. And I'm just going to go, Professor, how do you, what about this right here? It's a human. And here's what happens to humans. They go wild without God. Yeah. But in God, they go heavenward. That's why David said, I'm going to cry out to you, Lord, in the 40th Psalm. He said, I'm going to trust you. And he goes on and says, I'm in a hurt locker. Please, oh Lord, come and save me. Oh Lord, come quickly to help me. And then he says, listen, may all who seek to take my life be put to shame and confusion. Men, all who desire my ruin, may that be turned back into disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. Let me show you something. For some reason, we as American people are hooked on people messing up. Ted Haggard. Nobody even knew who Ted Haggard was. Ted Haggard never had a news story on him because he took a church from nothing to several thousand people. Nobody even talked about him. Nobody talked about Ted Haggard. Nobody even knew his name when he led millions of Christians. But let him fail, and he was a national news story. You notice how we don't say much about good people. We only get excited when they do what? Fail. Whew. I tell you what one of the toughest jobs would be is to be one of them Hollywood stars, wouldn't it? How would y'all like to walk around with a camera in your face all the time? Man, I'm glad God didn't put me in that position because I'd be in jail all the time. I'd hit one of those people, get out of my face. I want to raise my family. I want to do my thing. And we blow it off and say like this, well, it just comes with the fame. No, it doesn't. It comes with a group of gross, obsessed people who don't have a life. And if you get a life in Jesus, you don't have to chase all that chatter. I don't want to hear about Britney Spears or Hannah Montana. I want to hear about Jesus Christ. Good gosh. We got a world falling apart and we got news agencies reporting on teenagers. We have lost our everlasting minds. Yeah. You'll hear more about Hollywood than you will Iran building a nuclear missile. I guess we'll get concerned about that missile when we hear it coming. Oh, now we'll negotiate with a warhead. Yeah, we will. Y'all ever heard of fried bologna? And then we'll have the mourners. They'll be out after several billions are dead. Oh, how did God let this happen? How could God let such a tragedy happen? Is there a God? Yeah! He's been saying, thou shalt not to you. Thou shalt not to you since He created you. But you ignore God. And when the consequences of truth fail, then you got to be like David sometimes. And say, oh God, come quickly and save me. For I have stepped away from what is right. And praise be to the mercy of God. It'll step in and make me right. Now, does it make sense? God has to do it. You say, you preach that every Sunday. Well, yeah, Rachel, you know why? We don't get it. Guess what I hear on Monday? Well, I hope I'm going to heaven. I go to Hillview now. What do y'all think you're going to do? Walk up on the day of judgment and go, I went to Hillview? Gosh, that will get you to hell quicker than anything. If that's all you got to tell God is I went to Hillview, you don't have anything to say. You better say, dear God, I tell you what, I came to this truth. I'm an absolute wiped out mess. I'm a sinner. God, I broke your laws. I broke your standards. I broke your truth. And Jesus, I remember one day at that church, I asked you to come into my life and you forgave me of all my sins. And I believed you'd do what you said you were going to do. Guess what? You'll come right on in heaven, Ken. Amen. But you ain't going to have one of those cards. Or, you know, like a Western ID card. They're not going to have one of those up there. God knows if you're His. And He loves you guys and He wants you to be His. Amen. So I'm going to tell you the truth. People don't like the truth. They don't like what I got to say. I have colleagues that say, well, Pastor Harris, I don't think you're giving human nature enough value. I said, I'm in my mid-40s. I've given human nature a long enough value. Now, if I sat in my office all day long and all I did is read a book, I'd probably think like them. But I deal with real people who are having real pain. It's not a theory. It's not an ideology. It's not a concept. It's an actuality. And the only thing I've seen that will save them is Jesus. Oh, God, may your mercy come quickly. That's the truth. So guess what? It's a mercy day. How many of y'all need a little mercy in your life? Dear God, help me. Well, guess what? If you say it today, you're going to be saved. I got a hunch God's going to draw a lot of people to Him today. Guys, listen, don't go to hell. Let me boil this sermon down today. Hell is real and you don't have to go. Troubles are many, but God is greater than our troubles. Did anybody get that today? Watch this. There is love and there is truth and they work together. And I know some of y'all get ticked off at me. That's okay. Many human beings have been ticked off at me. I get ticked off at me. I listen to my own sermons and get mad. You know why? It's the Holy Spirit saying, look, this is where you're not, but this is where you can be in Christ. And you got to let God draw you there. So, does that make sense? Guys, thanks for being here today. Some of you came here today because God really wants you. He wants to forgive you and to love you and to change you. If you're sitting here in church today going, why am I at church? Maybe a good reason. I had a guy call me the other day. He wasn't sure. Wasn't sure about this God thing. That's okay. He goes, I don't believe in God. And I said, then why are you calling a church? He said, that's a good question. I laughed at him and I said, here's why. I said, you may not believe in God, but God knows where you are. And God knows what your problem is. And God knows you whether you believe in Him or not. Please, I just want you to hear these words today. If it looks impossible, maybe it's time to really step in with God. Elizabeth, tell you the truth. Elizabeth, if we just scripted ourselves toward, you know, just marriage stuff only, if there wasn't a God, would we still be married? No. You see how quick she said that? Did you notice she didn't hesitate? Did y'all know? It's kind of worrying me. I'm glad I'm at the altar. We step on the carpet here. Did you notice? She said, no. No, and here's why. Elizabeth and I have learned to be honest. The troubles would have been greater than the covenant. But when God makes the covenant in God is always greater than the troubles. And the reason I talk about marriage, guess what happens during the week? A lot of us have problems in our what? And with our what? That's y'all. Y'all are children. Sometimes you're a problem. And as your parents, sometimes we're what? Yeah, we are. Let's be honest. Because what, we're all God's children. And even though the troubles may be... John Paul, I love that line, don't you? I can't even count them all, David said, without number. You know, it's Buzz Lightyear. To infinity and beyond are my troubles. And then there's God who speaks in a soft, still voice. His name is Jesus. He's personable. He says, I'm greater than your trouble. Let God bring you through it. Has this made any sense today? Did you get it or not get it? Please talk to me. I wanted you to get it today. I prayed that you would get it today. And think it's what frustrates me. I can't make you get it. You know? Man, if I could save you by doing this right here, guess what I'd do? I'd just do this to everybody. Is that the way it works? Here's the truth. You've got to receive it. And only Jesus can draw you to it. Make sense? See some new people here today, I hope. I hope if you are scared, the hell has been scared out of you. And so now you have room to receive Jesus in a big way. It's intense at Hillview. Here's why. It's a real deal. What do y'all want me to preach? Captain Kangaroo? This would be a lie. Well, y'all are just so beautiful. Deep down inside, you're going to just become everything your potential was to be. Do you hear how ludicrous that is? Which is, you know what people are really saying that believe that? Let the hell come out. Because that's what's inside of us when you get down to the bottom of us. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. That's why when we get old, we look like this if we've never met Jesus. Y'all have been in a nursing home and people look like they could kill you and you praise God they can't get up? I'm just being honest. Is that too honest? I mean, I remember when we were kids, we had to go sing to them at church, you know? Scare me, man. Some of them people mean. I'm not lying to you. Yeah. Or you work with them? Yeah, they'd be like, ah. Where that came from? They never found life. They never received it. Receive it. It's real. Receive it. All right. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Took my nasty sin and washed it white as snow. So I want you to stand right now. And everybody be just still for a moment. There's a marvelous truth in here, Fainter, at this moment. People like Pascal, Erica, that witnessed to you today in baptism. Pascal said something that is so marvelously true. He said, Pastor, when I got saved, I didn't have any control over it. I came up there to that carpet and I just knew it was happening. You know what you call that? Real. Right now in this moment, I want you to know there's people in this room for the first time in their life, they're going to receive eternal life. And if that doesn't light your fire to be a part of a church that really practices the Great Commission, then I would deeply and honestly encourage you to evaluate your own understanding of salvation. Because I don't want you to miss it. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I what? So right now I'm going to invite you in the name of Jesus. I have the privilege for this moment to honor my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I get to offer an invitation to some incredibly cool human beings who happen to hang out at Hillview Heights Church on November the 15th, 2009. I have no idea where 2009, Lucas, I have no idea where that fits in human history. I just know what we've called it. But today, I know where you can fit in human history. Right now, if this is you, you haven't ever done this, you can do this right now. You can say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm one of them crazy messes Pastor Ayers was talking about. I know you were talking to me, Holy Spirit. And guess what, Jesus? I really believe you died on a cross and you rose from a grave. And Jesus, right now, I want to ask you to come into my life and I want you to forgive me of my sins and I want you to bring me to your life. Guess what Jesus is going to say? Pastor Ward, tell him what he's going to say. Yes. He's going to say yes. He's going to say, Rachel, my girl, I love you. He's going to say, come on, live that marriage full and abundant. Woosley, he'll do that.
He'll say, come. I love you. Some of y'all looking at me like, oh man, that is crazy. You're right. I'm crazy. I believe Jesus can change everything. But you know what? I'm crazy living a full, abundant life. If you're worried about this life being crazy following Jesus, it is. But it's the most blessed crazy you'll ever live. So come on and live it. Our Father who art in heaven, whose Son is named Jesus. Jesus, we ask you now through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to draw people to this altar that need to receive your mercy. Cry out just like old David did. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Just tell him right now, Lord, I've messed up. You know the things I've done and you know I need to be forgiven. Ask him right now to forgive you. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Know that he died on a cross. He's risen from the grave, but ask him to forgive you. I guarantee you he will. As you are making that decision, if you don't mind, if you'll come forward, we got some pastors that would love to just celebrate that decision with you. The pastors can't save you, but they want to know that you've asked Jesus into your life so we can begin to pray and celebrate and welcome you to the kingdom of God. Today, some of you need to come and pray. You know you do. You know God's calling you to pray. It may be your marriage. It may be your children. Parents, if you're raising children, I know one thing my wife did, man, is she's done right. I don't know of a Sunday that my wife hadn't had her children on the altar praying for them every Sunday. And she does a much better job than that than her husband does. But she took that role. She prayed over those children. It changed. Jamie ministered this brother right here. God's saving him right now. Is that what's happening? That's great. He's getting saved. How many of y'all? It's okay. He's getting saved. Amen. 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 Uh-oh. How many of y'all okay with people getting saved? Y'all, watch this. You know what cracks me up? Some of y'all go like this. You go, now this is the part I really don't like. When I feel something and I can't control it. That's God. It's okay. This would be a great confession. God's smarter than me. God's richer than me. God's more intelligent than me. God can see what I can't see. God knows what I don't know. You get there and follow him. And guess what? You'll see a lot more, know a lot more, have a lot more, live a lot more. Amen? Just trust him. God, this altar's already open. People are already repenting. People are already being saved. We release it right now in the name of Jesus. Amen, Pastor Andrew. We release it in the name of Jesus. Bring those Holy Spirit that need to be brought. Save those that need to be saved. Heal those who need to be healed. Bring those who need to be obedient in baptism. Right now, God, we ask that this altar be open. God, we ask that your saving power be released over this auditorium. And we just listen to what you got to tell us. Come on, church. Altar's open. Come on, be saved. Be changed, be cleansed, be new. Come on, in the name of Jesus, come on. Come on, come on.